Hi, I'm Felicity Milburn, curator of the Seraphine Peck exhibition, and I'm here with Seraphine to talk about the show. So Seraphine, we're standing in front of the Salon Hang in the exhibition, which incorporates a lot of paintings which have very different sort of source material, and I was wondering if you might be able to pick out a few things to tell us about.
Okay. All these works have been done at completely different times in the last, I don't know when these ones start actually, about the last 15 years is the show anyway, but there's quite a variety of times these were done. So yeah, it's just different source materials for them, from magazines, the internet. I've made some of them up just from imagination. Some are from photographs I've taken. So it's a variety of different image sources. So I sort of create an image bank and a scrapbook, and then I use those to work from as a starting point in the paintings.
A lot of them have a kind of a portrait feel, even though they might be things that we wouldn't necessarily expect to see in a portrait, like, for example, kind of the hairy guy, kind of Wookiee-like sort of figure. Is that something that you're really interested in, sort of the idea of portrait?
I think they just developed sort of quite subconsciously, really. I was just, because my earlier work, I don't have any sort of sense of portraiture going on at all, but as I got more and more into working with the figure and concentrating on the figure and the human form, I started to do portraiture because that's part of the genre of figurative painting. And so I tried the concept of a portrait and what that can be and what you could present that as. And so I've done portraits of animals and like the dogs up there, the Dobermans. They're usually quite vicious looking, you know, and people think of Dobermans, oh, they're vicious dogs, but I've made them very formal portraits and they're just sort of passive, and one's got a furry coat on, and that's a photo I found. You know, people do think they humanise their animals. So it's that crossover between the portrait and the animal is quite interesting, because you get portraits of animals and they're like their owners. They've got the same facial expressions and things, you know, and there's those kinds of humorous aspects to it too. And that endearing thing as well. I did a series of work that was based on circus and sideshows from the Victorian time. There were people that had the condition of hirsute, I think that's how you say it, where they have hair all over the face, and I find that a compelling image too. And it's just a person, it's a real living person with all the same emotions and everything as everyone else. And just to make a portrait of that, like I'd make a portrait of like my son, for instance, or anybody else, you know. And so just it's that inclusive sort of thing that, yeah, portrait is a portrait of an identity, yeah.
Quite a lot of these works and your works in general in the show have a kind of uneasy feel about them. You've deliberately picked out images that are either uneasy in themselves or you've somehow made them uneasy. Is that something you deliberately kind of look at?
I don't think I do a lot of things deliberately. Yeah. Half the time I don't really know what I'm doing. The deciding on an image is quite a long process, because a lot of images that I just collect from the source, it's usually a photographic source, I keep them for a long time, or else I carry them in my head for a long time before I actually make them into a painting. But it's the process of making that into a painting that I find interesting, and that kind of somehow creates an unease in itself. And I've always been interested in that crossover between things being uneasy and not uneasy, and it's like, where does that point happen, and transferring something that's photographic into something that's painterly, it changes the way it emotionally feels, I guess. It's hard to explain. I mean, it's quite intuitive how I choose my images, really. And they just become something from that starting point of me just liking that image for no reason at all. It's just like I don't know why I like it, but I can see that. I can see a painting there, you know. It's just that you need that initial grab to be able to actually make a painting in this place. It's just like you need that I guess what people call inspiration, I guess, yeah.
So, Seraphine, we've got a wall here of works on paper from 1994 right up till 2009. And I know that drawing and working on paper has been a big part of your process right from the very beginning. But I think it looks to me as though things have kind of changed from some of those early images to what you're doing now. So I just wonder if you could talk us through that.
Well, yeah, it's just a process that's changed. One of my early works, I worked with all the beds on it floating in the space of the paper, you know, it's more random kind of composition. But I would make those up. It was all much more intuitive in terms of, the idea was to just draw pictures out of my head and just see what would happen. I never knew that bed image came just out of my... I didn't think, I'm going to draw a picture of a bed that I had as a child. It wasn't like that at all. It wasn't conscious. I was really interested in the subconscious and images and what, you know, and I just started to doodle. It's just like little lines, and I drew this little bed one day, and then it became something. And I quite liked that at the time. I really liked that process of things just appearing there, and then you make them into something, and the whole analytical process comes after the work rather than before. But since then, I've got really more interested in the pictorial. So I've been collecting images over time, and then working from them, so from found images, and then adapting them in the process of drawing and then into painting. But I don't always draw the images before I do the painting, and they're never the same. I mean, I've got one there that's quite close. That's a picture I did of Devil's Music, and it's the kids around the fire. And I just drew that up quickly, but that was more to give me an idea of I wanted to paint a little more loosely, and I just wanted to practice that on paper first. And I've always been interested in using gouache and watercolour and the way that you don't have so much control when you use it. And I like the things that happen accidentally. And so it depends on what I'm doing and what medium I'll use on the paper and how I'll approach it as well.
So are some images that you maybe have in mind ones that you'll automatically reach for a paper and others that you'll go into a painting on? Or do you sort of start, and does the image come from the media that you're working in? What's the...
When I translate onto the canvas? Well, sometimes it'll be a drawing I might later on put a portrait of a girl thing on her nose. I might do a painting based on that, and it's really good to have something done first, because it's just this whole thing of when you're painting, it's really not, because I want to do it loosely. You have to know what you're doing straight. I mean, it's quite opposite to how I used to work. It's quite interesting. So I think I'll try it from the other side and work out how to do it. But so I've got to be able to have it set up that I can just do it. And so it's quite good to have a drawing done first, but it will change. It'll never be the same, but it's like, I like that too, that shift that happens when it's not quite the same too. And then sometimes I'll just start with one image, and then I just do that, and I don't know what else is going to happen on the canvas, and I like working that way too, where, especially on the larger works with more multiple images on them, they sort of happen over a long period of time, where I just add something, and then the next day I go off and I do things, I talk to people or whatever, and come back with a whole lot of other images in your head or ideas that could add to that, or that make that one image makes you think of other things. Yeah. And it's like it's constructing something. It's like, you're building a story in some way. And so a lot of people think they're very narrative, but they're never obviously narrative. I like the open-endedness of leaving it a big mystery, really. I mean, just because people bring their own stories to it, and I like that process too.
So, Seraphine, we're standing in front of your two new works that were painted for the exhibition, Devil's Music and Hole in the Sky. And these have quite a different feeling to a lot of the works that are in the show. So can you tell us a wee bit about how these came about?
Well, same process of found images. I found these images in a music magazine. They just appealed to me in their, I guess they just seem like really simple, strong images. And I've changed them a little bit from the original bit. But they were just, they seemed to emulate very basic human instinct to me in a way. They're like, this one's of a lot of people at a concert, And it's obviously, I mean, if you know metal, you know the symbol there. It's the only reason you know that was, you can hear the music with it because you know that symbol, but if you didn't, you might not know that. I find that quite interesting, the way that that can translate that. Also, because the show was for Christchurch, it's, you know, it was after I'd done it, I thought this is a very Christchurch image, because I spent a lot of time here in the 80s, and it was like, it just seems the whole metal gothic thing, it was another way of representing the gothic in a way. I really enjoyed doing that one. And also, it's a very bold, a lot of people say it's a very masculine image, and there's men and there's women in there too, but it's just that it's aggressive, it seems aggressive, but really these people are having a fantastic time, and it's that whole thing as well, it's not violent, it's having, they're really into this thing, it's passion, and they love the music, and they live by it sometimes, and I really like that about it. It does come from other things I've done, it's very Goya-esque as well in terms of the lighting and the way I've painted it too, is the darkness and the bases all kind of ghoulishly disappearing in the background there. But it's raw human emotion. and this image I got from the magazine as well, and it's about sort of human instinct as well. It's like drawn to the fire and the flame, and it's down the corner there. I've just left it blank canvas, and I want that feeling of the canvas sort of being part of the flames, that's been burnt up like a piece of paper. And then all the figures of light going on, it makes it quite ghoulish as well. And it's also quite, it makes me think of things from your childhood, and putting torches under your chin and making yourself look spooky and all that sort of stuff. But I found out after I painted the image what it actually was and where it came from. And it's an image of American children burning Beatles records in 1960. And so that made it a whole different story. And I really like that. I mean, I quite often like not knowing about the images when I'm painting them, and then you find out about it later, and it adds a whole other dimension to it. And so there's that to it as well, burning the books, and it's all this sort of thing as well. So it's got sort of this dark side to it as well as this kind of humorous side to it. And it's got lots of other layers. I mean, people think of Lord of the Flies and, you know, all the children all becoming scary and things, you know, it's all that sort of stuff too. And so and I enjoyed painting. I started painting it looser and just, you know, painting it quite fauvist with all the bright colours on the face. And there's a lot of material there now that I can work, you know, base my next series of work from. So looking forward to that.